Thank you guys for having me. It's amazing to be here, and I definitely have to immediately thank my family who came out to see my show, and my partner's family who came out from various areas, including Richmond, just to be here. It's really nice of everybody to come through and show support. There's lots to talk about in this work. It's been a lot of hard work and mostly new, but in some cases some older projects. So I feel like the best way to talk about it is just maybe right away take a question. I feel like the most obvious question that somebody might have might be the best way to talk about it. So if anybody has any questions.
What about comments?
Comments? Sure. Yeah, something to respond to.
I noticed some of your paintings are like very brightly colored.
Yeah.
Really inverted, really ugly kind of emotion in that guy's face.
Yeah.
And I think that juxtaposition is really great.
Thank you. That's a great starting point. Yeah, because I feel like color is a big thing. I intentionally made the gallery so that you come in through the black and white space and enter through black and white. It's almost like Wizard of Oz. You enter through here and come into like Technicolor. And the idea is that for me, I was thinking about that issues are never black and white, right? They're always something more complicated. But there's also a certain level of surrealism that's happening in the world right now. How many times do you turn on the news, you're like, I can't believe that is happening.
Yeah.
So I've been using a lot of synthetic colors as a way of upping that, like amping it up to make it almost like skateboard art and graffiti art, this like very contemporary surrealistic take on look at how almost absurd this is. But when you look at the emotion being conveyed or the content being conveyed, you're like, but wait, that is what's happening. So I that's something I do very intentionally.
I met you yesterday. I was watching you. I was enchanted about how you start with the charcoal and rejecting and all.
Yeah.
Sure. And also, yeah. How do you start with an idea? Do you see something in the news that triggers you, and then you go from there?
That's a great question, too. Normally, I'm responding to something in my everyday life. It's whether it's a family incident or an incident I had at Home Depot. Just like going to a Home Depot and standing next to somebody in line where you're like, is this person a Trump supporter? It kind of feels, am I worried about that? Like, what does that mean? It's very complicated. I don't think it is black and white. So a lot of these come out of actually just everyday situations. That one right there, the very first one's called The Weeping Candidate, which is a collage. And that's just how I start in a lot of times. I make collages. Same way you would normally see a collage, except I do it digital, like in a software. But I find images on the internet, and I cut them out digitally, and I collage them together, and then I draw from them. So that was a collage of Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and I forgot one other person. But I made it as this, like, one person, like this idea of weeping because you won, but weeping because you lost. Like, it could be either way. It's this arbitrary political gesture, but in a moment of like authentic human emotion. So that was where that came from. The other ones came the same way. Like, this is a day laborer. That's my body. That's my partner Stephanie's in Home Depot with me. But I collaged a day laborer, like I was just Google search day laborer, found like a really dark-skinned Mexican guy carrying stuff, put him there, and then I collaged Trump's head on top of that, along with another Mexican man's face with a mustache, and this is called Build a Wall. And I was just thinking about how, it's not black and white, so I definitely know several people who are Mexicans and have immigrants in their family who really believe in Trump's policies and were willing to vote for him. And so I was thinking about how complicated that is. And along with the underlining relationship of how that relates to like hyper-masculinity and everything, which is why, a few people were pointing out that where is Christy, the little girl, I don't even know how old she is. You know, she pointed out, she was like, that's her aunt. She was like, but where's her mouth, you know? And that's the idea. It's like, in this other little one called Wearing Hat Indoors, which is, I was raised to never wear hat indoors, that kind of comment of like common decency. He's wearing this like political hat indoors, and he's so angry that his gesture is blocking out the face of his spouse, you know? So it's like, what does that mean in relationship to this kind of female masculine energy in politics and how he's yelling at Hillary Clinton on TV, and that it's framed within the 50s era, which is like this kind of iconic era specifically within terms of like male privilege. So that's these works. And then these works behind you on this wall specifically are largely about gentrification in different cities I've lived in, and about how culture is kind of the first thing that occurs, and then this new kind of colonialism comes in. So this one on the left is a neighborhood I grew up in Chicago called Humble Park, and we have these iconic sculptures of Puerto Rican flags that lots of people have petitioned to take down as the neighborhood has changed. And I've always jokingly said that depending on who you are, those huge sculptures are either a warning or a welcoming. But the idea is these are hipsters kind of dropped into like almost like alien abduction with the neon glow into this neighborhood that they're, and it's called Transplants, the discovery of Humble Park. And a lot of these titles are a play on humor. It's like, of course you can't discover a place that people were already living in. So who are these people and what are they doing? Same goes with this one right here. It's called Freedom from Want, which is specifically a title from a Norman Rockwell painting, as an iconic painting he made in response to FDR's Four Freedom speeches that was talking about in response to leading up to World War II and America entering the war. And in that one, it was this celebration of the family coming together and having a turkey to be able to offer. And it's like, well, what does Thanksgiving look like now in the era of divisive politics that kind of enter into your family when one person feels one way and the other person feels this way? And of course, I was using red and blue as Democrat, Republican, but also mainly I was thinking about in terms of temperature, like heat, anger, cool, chill. Like, what's that mean? Like, this guy is very hot. Again, the synthetic colors of just being oversaturated, over assertive in some way. And these, all those right there, that's Miguel Pinheiro, famous Puerto Rican playwright and poet, who is one of his most famous pieces is Scatter My Ashes on the Lower East Side, a poem he wrote about wanting his ashes to be scattered in the Lower East Side back. And it describes the area as being grimy and dirty and like this kind of place of culture and art, but also crime. And now it's Chase Bank and hip lounges and bars and things like that. Same goes with Jacob Lawrence to the right, who's a famous iconic painter from the Harlem Renaissance. Now he's sitting in a Harlem cafe where it's a bunch of white young people sitting on their MacBook Pros. And then to the right is Harry Houdini in front of a Subways that's a block away from the house he was living in. So this idea that Houdini's performing an escape in front of a now completely changed neighborhood. So it's not necessarily a judgment, but it's just an observation, and it ends right there with Off to the Rally, where you see a woman on a very vintage bike with her little tiny hip dog in her basket and a yoga mat and an indifferent bearded cool guy on the stoop, as you see two people of color walking off with their protest sign. Like, who's heading off to the rally? Is it them? Are they all going? What is this observer relationship? And I've been using illustration and political cartoons for a very specific reason. A lot of people find contemporary art inaccessible. That in itself has become a political statement. A lot of people don't realize that the politics behind that accessibility have a lot to do with access to education, information, cultural institutions, etc. So when you tell somebody, oh, this is art, if you don't get it that it's art, you just don't get art. That's not something I believe in. So I've actually intentionally been focusing within illustration and cartoon as a realm of like, oh, this is something people don't find intimidating. It's a platform for communication. It's a platform that a lot of people kind of look down on in the art world as something that is not painterly enough. It's not esoteric enough, and therefore doesn't empower you with the hierarchy that you have more knowledge than another person in some way. So I am intentionally using these like illustrations as a way of getting you into the picture first and then asking the questions. Lastly, I'll just say like the one all the way in the corner there is called Lullaby. And I'll tell you my exact thinking behind this. People love cats. People love beautiful women. People love people playing guitars. I'm going to make a piece that is intentionally seductive. People love detailed drawings. They love skill being shown. I make that piece so that everybody's like, whoa, this piece is just so sexy. It's so cool. I want to look at it. And then I'm going to give them a little something that hopefully they discover. So when you look at that drawing, you may respond like, oh, this is really cool, it's fishbowl, everything, and tiny little pen drawing. And then in the background is a stop and frisk. There's an NYPD car with two white officers arresting a black man. And it's this big in the context of that whole piece. But what I was thinking about in all that is it's levels of imprisonment. So this woman's in a Brooklyn apartment with bars on her own window. The fish is in a bowl. The cat is inside of a house. The woman is subject to alcohol or her art, and she's trying to express herself. But everybody's stuck. Even when you're outside, the police are there. So that's why I think that's a great example of like how I'm thinking about everything. And then this piece over here has a statement that kind of ties everything in, that this monologue you're hearing is an appropriation of existing speeches of Martin Luther King, Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela. So every word you're hearing are directly taken from their speeches. And the whole thing comes together to make this like murder narrative where this guy's driving this other figure to murder them because they betrayed them. But it's all taken from speeches of people who practice passive resistance and peaceful activism. So those are the first ones that started in response to the idea of, in history painting, you wanted to talk about a monumental moment. We've learned that I always use Napoleon crossing the Alps or the Oath of Horatii. You want to show a monumental moment in battle. We all seen Michelangelo, these paintings, like this is where the moment happened. This is history. But in contemporary times, powerful decisions no longer happen with somebody on a horse riding through the Alps. They happen over dinners. They happen over cocktails. They happen through email. They happen through quick text messages. So the idea is that these are people having strategy. Like, that's called strategy dinner. This one was called Brunch with Friends because it was specifically related to the mayoral election, where Rahm Emanuel was getting criticized while he was mayor for getting... having constant meals, teas, drinks with potential donors. And when he got criticized and called out for it because his schedule had to be made public, he then edited his schedule so it just said tea with friends, brunch with friends, dinner with friends. And he was allowed to do that legally, so nobody knew who he was meeting with anymore. So I made a series of drawings that were like that, where it's like these are just meals with friends, but the idea is that there are these illustration political cartoons with these floral pieces in the middle, because similar to cut flowers, the gesture of power is a temporary appearance. Like, you go to a steakhouse, you see this beautiful bouquet. Like, they try as hard as they can to make sure that that always looks beautiful. But it's by nature, it will decay. It's not meant. So a lot of these things are related to eating and that type of display of in like history painting or traditional Dutch still lifes, the vanitas. It's the painting of human mortality. Like, these things will decay. This food will decay. That's what we use art to remind us of. One more question. I haven't had much, but I did have the other day somebody that seemed to be thinking that I was a Trump supporter based on just the first read. They were like, well, how would you feel if I brought somebody in? They asked me, is she here? No, I don't think. They asked me how she worked with migrant workers and like through legal advocacy of something, yeah, immigrant law. And she said, how do you think they would react to your work if I brought them in? But she asked me in a way like, are you okay with showing them this? And I thought that was a really great question, because it meant that it's kind of like, what's his name? Not the Daily Show, the other guy. John Oliver. Colbert. It's like Colbert. I read a really great thing is, in the time of parody, especially in heightened political atmosphere, parody, or specifically satire, as some people argue, is ineffective, because it can, if it's really, really effective, it can be co-opted by both sides. So somebody like Colbert, right-wing people watch him just as much as left-wing people, and they both think he's on their side. I think that's effective art. Yeah. So I think that if people come in and ever feel that way about what I'm doing, then I think it's great. But I personally feel like there's a vulnerability in my work that I can't not put in there, because I don't know how I feel about it yet either. I know I feel like this... I know I don't support this candidate, but does that mean I don't like my cousin who does? You know, does that mean I don't want to ever talk to my family that believes in this? Well, then it gets really complicated. Same goes, I have family that's CPD, police officers. Like, how do I deal with stop and frisk in New York when I've worked in Rikers Island with incarcerated youth. So, but then I go to Thanksgiving and have dinner with my cousin who's a cop. And I have friends who are cops, and it's just never, it's never that easy, you know? It's very complicated, right? It's not black and white. So I hope that that kind of comes across, like, I'm a hipster, I'm an artist, I'm moving into these neighborhoods, I'm a gentrifier. It's, I hope that that kind of comes across.
I was just going to say, I think you could do a whole series on Thanksgivings, because beginning this last Thanksgiving, and maybe it's anecdotal for me, but I can't tell you the number of people who questioned whether they were going to go back home with the family celebration, yep, or if they did, everyone had to realize things were off limits, and yep, that has built since then.
That's what I wanted to do. It's like, a lot of art that I see is made around very heavy ideas, and they kind of attack it as this very abstract and very layered and academics, and or they want you to have to think about it a lot. My thing is like, but that's real. You know, that happened to me. That happened to you. Like, why not make it monumental? Why not make a big ass painting where you're like, yep, that's it, you know? Like,
yeah. I think we're going to have a couple more years of that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Sir. Oh. No, you didn't mention the fellow with partial plastic fake nose.
Yeah. Mouth. Well, that's a great observation as well. So, the handlebar mustache is a very, like, retro hipster identity, like young creatives. But so my idea was like that dates back to a certain type of like person, specifically like a early settler. So the idea was like, well, this is this kind of reemergence of this idea of early settlers, and then also this idea of like how many like monuments I've seen of sculptures of like General Pulaski or somebody like that with a big mustache. So I grayed out his skin, so it's like a collage of like almost a hinting at a future monument of this new colonialist.
You mentioned surrealism. Salvador Dali is making appearances here, it seems like.
I think surrealism is just, it definitely enters because I'm open to letting something I didn't intend to do come through my work, especially in the video stuff. I don't approach video the same way I approach painting. I almost make videos like I paint, and then make drawings like I make would make video, in a sense that I usually have kind of an idea of where these will end, and video I had no idea when I start, and the pieces just kind of organically develop the way most people would paint. And I think the surrealist aspect for me is that it's all about time. I don't really relate to time in a linear way, because when I go to Harlem, while I'm going to this cafe, in my mind, I'm also thinking about the history of that space. And it's like a analogy I heard somebody speak is like, if you bring a plumber into your house, they're gonna see it one way. If you then bring in a carpenter, they're gonna see it another way. If you bring in, you know, on and on and on. Now, what that means is that each person perceives reality of your space a different way. If you acquire that knowledge yourself, you then perceive your space differently. So if I learn to become a carpenter and a plumber, I enter my house differently. And because of the way I make art, I think I enter space differently in that I don't really think about it linear. To me, when I see things happen, I think about times I've seen it happen before or times it may happen again. So that's why I frequently kind of stack time. While you'll see all these things are multiple time periods happening at once. Film noir with the civil rights movement, with contemporary performance art. It's like just, that's just the way I make. So I think that's where the surrealist aspect comes from.
Thank you.